Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just-arrived collection of swim and other sun-ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy push-up bra, in on-trend hues like green and citron and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriasecret.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
I am Yamla, your host for this journey. I was a hopeless loveaholic, but just could not get my love to work. Then after a series of heartbreaks and deep heartache, I finally got clear about what love is and what it is not. I want to share some of what I've learned about loveaholism. Welcome to The R-Spot, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. Great day and welcome to The R-Spot, the place we come to talk about all kinds of relationships and the issues that grow through our relationships, in our relationships, sometimes the issues that tear down our relationships. I am Yamla, your host, your guide, your support system, here to offer you a different perspective, perhaps a different approach, to support you by offering tools and skills and information that will help you make all of your relationships loving, fulfilling, and hopefully peaceful. Yeah. Today we're talking about a very important topic, co-parenting, or what happens when the relationship between the parents breaks down and there are children involved. I have seen time and time again, and I'm sure you have seen and you probably know about children who become collateral damage in the fighting between parents. And what happens when the initial relationship wasn't really solid and a child comes through that relationship? When the parents don't have a good solid relationship, perhaps it was just a thing or a fling and we weren't careful and conscious, so we created a child that we're now trying to raise, but the parents are fighting or disconnected. Or perhaps they don't really know each other well. The children become collateral damage. Or what happens when there's the ending of a long-term relationship or a committed relationship where there were children? And now, in addition to the house and the car and the bank accounts and material possessions, the parents are fighting among themselves. And the children get caught up in the middle. What happens when the holidays roll around, or if there's a funeral, or if there's a wedding? Who gets to bring the children? Who gets to speak to the children? What happens when partners separate and one partner has a new partner and the other partner doesn't want the children exposed? I mean, there are so many issues that go on when we're trying to co-parent and we haven't cleaned up the original relationship. We're going to talk about that today. And I hope to be able to give you some insight, some information about how to separate the husband-wife, boyfriend-girlfriend, father-mother from the same people who are actually the parents of the children. Let me say that again. I hope to give you some insight, some information, a different perspective and approach so that you can Separate, make a distinction between who you are as ex-spouses or ex-partners and who you are as parents. Because although you are one and the same, your responsibilities, your approach, your perspective as parents who no longer live together must be different. I've got some callers on the line and we are going to talk to them today. And hopefully we will get some new ideas about how to co-parent when the initial loving relationship has fallen apart or broken down. Greetings, beloved, and welcome to the R Spot. We are talking today about co-parenting when the relationship between the parents isn't good and they're trying to raise children together. Thank you for joining us. And what is the issue you're bringing to the table today?
Hello, I'm calling because I was married for 17 years. In the context of that marriage, we had four children, so they're 22, 21, 14 and 12. We've been divorced for 6 years, or I call it happily unmarried and delightfully divorced. I've been delightfully divorced for 6 years. And initially, when we were still living in the same state, the co-parenting was kind of going okay, but we now live in different states. So for 2 years, they were with me during the school year and then with him during agreed upon breaks. And then that 2 year period, he was frequently not showing up for visits and things like that, which put me in a position to have to explain to the kids, you know, that he wasn't showing up and try to overcompensate for him not showing up during the dates that he'd agreed to show up during mediation. Since June, we've kind of switched that. So the younger two kids are now with him during the summer and they're with him during the school year. And I find that he's micromanaging my visits. And so even though he wasn't showing up for his visits, I'm showing up for my agreed upon visits and trying to get additional visits. So two things that have come up more recently, for the winter break, according to our mediated agreement, I'm supposed to be with them, or they're supposed to be with me from December 26th to the 31st. And so I reached out to him to see if I could get some extra time with them because they'll be out of school longer than that. So I reached out to him about this about 7 weeks ago. And then I also reached out to him because I'd recently quit/retired from being a philosophy professor. So I'm taking kind of a personal sabbatical now, but I was offered a research fellowship in Germany from January until June. And so my youngest, the 12-year-old, wants to come with me to Germany. So I reached out to him about 7 weeks ago to say, you know, I'd like to extend the winter break time with the kids and Kalia would like to come with me to Germany. You know, can we schedule a conversation about that? So after repeatedly reaching out to him and to the mediator's office over several weeks, I was just able to get him to agree to the conversation about the winter break next week. And then he pushed out the mediation session all the way to December 20th of this year, even though I'm heading to Germany like January 15th. So it's just been challenging to negotiate the kind of micromanaging, what feels like petty control and pushing out decisions to the last possible moment, over something that I would have hoped that we could just have conversations about sooner rather than later.
I just want to take a moment, Mama, and just acknowledge you. Because so very often when the marriage or the relationship between the parents break down, the mother kind of claims possession of the children and would never, do you hear me? I have seen it time and time again. Never allow her children, and believe it or not, particularly her son, to go live with his father. Mm-hmm. My goodness, good for you. Good for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, it was definitely a challenging decision, but I feel like, you know, it's important for them to have a healthy relationship with both parents. They have influences from both parents. And, you know, with him not showing up for his visits when they were with me, I'm like, well, if they're with him, he may not be able to show up emotionally, but like they're, you know, they get an opportunity to kind of experience him firsthand and decide what that relationship is going to be with him. Because I constantly have stressed to them, my relationship with my ex-husband is not the same as their relationship with their father. And so I try to differentiate those things.
Wow. Wow. Do you know how many people don't get that? How many people don't get my relationship with my ex is different than my children's relationship with their father?
Yeah.
Two different people all in the same body. Mm-hmm. So good for you. So you are like light years ahead of the game, believe
Thank
it
you.
Or not.
Thank
so
you.
Let's talk about this. micromanaging. Tell me mm-hmm. what your experience of that has been. What is that?
Well, it has been, you know, like I said, specifically with regard to trying to have conversations around the winter break and trying to have conversations around the Germany trip, like constantly avoiding and pushing that out instead of just like sitting down and having that conversation. Or like initially the mediator said, well, you guys should probably have a phone call check-in at least once a month, like at the beginning of the month. So we said we would do that, but I'm constantly having to reach out to him in order to set that up. So like the last conversation that we've actually had by phone was like in August because we hadn't done these monthly check-ins. And then he is also remarried now, so he wants to filter that through his wife as well. Yes. And so it's interesting.
You've got to know that could impact his ability or willingness to be in communication with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you know his new wife? Do you know her?
I don't know her personally, right? So they actually, like when he first started dating her, he told me that he was, you know, dating somebody. And then I found out through the kids that he was getting married. And so I never even met her like during the time that they were dating, during the time that they were engaged, or even before they got married. The first time I met her was actually, I wouldn't say by accident, maybe it was serendipity. They were in town to pick up the kids last summer when the younger two kids were going to go with them for the summer. And we were going to the store to pick something up for the youngest teacher. And she happened to be in the store. And so they were like, oh, this is, you know, so-and-so. And so I was like, oh, well, it's nice to finally actually meet you in person. And she seemed really pleasant. We exchanged numbers. And she was saying, like, you know, well, I tried to, you know, get him to introduce us, but he kept avoiding it. And I didn't want to nag. And she was like, you know, you probably don't believe me. And I'm like, oh, I believe you, right? Like, oh, I have no reason not to believe, you know, your account of those events. So she seemed really pleasant at the time. And then the next time that we had a conversation was we did a family counseling session with him, his wife, and myself. We did one with the adults first and then with the kids. And then there, she seemed definitely like, you know, co-signing his position, which I understand, you know, they're married, they're doing the United Front thing. But then when several issues were raised about what the kids' experiences had been with them last summer, then there was more of like a defensiveness from both of them around, you know, they're doing, you know, their thing their way, which I get, but I was trying to explain to them, like, this is a major transition. This is ahead of them, the kids going with them this year. And so I'm like, it's a major transition for the kids. They've only ever lived with me. You know, give them some grace, give them some patience. And there seemed to be just not a lot of grace and patience and consideration for how big a transition it was for the younger two kids to go from having lived with me their whole life and being with their older two siblings to going solo to live with them away from me and away from their siblings.
Are the kids adjusting to that? Is that what they want? Or is that what you two decide it should happen?
So we decided to give it a try for a year. So right now the mediation is there with him for this year. And then we will revisit the arrangement next summer at the end of this year. Our son, I think, is satisfied with that arrangement as long as he can continue to see me. Our youngest is not satisfied with that arrangement. So again, the youngest would like to come with me to Germany, but I need, you know, he would have to agree to that because we already have an agreement in place. But if not, then the youngest, you know, would have to wait out this year and then, you know, we can make a new agreement next summer.
Wow. So what do we do now? We'll talk about that right after this break.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like Black Shine, Green, and Citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. And now in this season's must-have shades and patterns, add the finishing touch with a limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
a new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Welcome back to the R Spot. Let's pick up where we left off. Okay, is he angry with you?
Yes.
Have you and him talked about it or brought that to any level of resolution?
There was a point at which we did, and then there were more things. So, like, I tried to be really intentional because I'm the person who wanted the divorce, right? Like, I had this moment of, like, just intuitive insight of, like, and it wasn't about him being a terrible person. It was just, like, I do not want to be married anymore. It's time for me to, like, get out of this relationship. And then I found out at that time that he'd been having an affair with a faculty member in his department. He'd been having an affair with a graduate student in his department, right? Like, all of this stuff came out. So ultimately, we separated. I asked him to move out of the house. And I think that's when the anger kicked in, right? Like that he had to move out, that he then had to, you know, be on his own financially and do all the adult things that I had basically been doing throughout the marriage. And then he said since then, like, oh, well, you always get your way. Everything's always about your preference. So I think there's this anger and a feeling that I have kind of dictated things. And now he wants to kind of reclaim a control at this point.
Well, have you? Have you dictated things? No heat, no judgment. Were you the maximizer in the relationship? Did you get things handled, taken care of?
Yes.
That kind of thing?
Of course, maximizer sounds like better language than dictator, right? But so I would have said I dictated things. But I would say, yeah, in that sense, I was a max. So I've always been a person who I'm a high achiever. I'm a planner. I make a plan. I work the plan.
You know, there's an old saying that all children leave home angry.
Mm.
It's easier for them to leave home angry and be upset with their parents and go out on their own and do their thing and be mad with their parents than it is for them to come to agreement and say, you know, it's time, I'm going to go. When you have a situation where the woman was the maximizer or the, let's say, the director, I don't want to say the controller or the manager, I'll say the director.
Mm-hmm.
When that relationship breaks down, very often the male partner treats his ex as though she were his mother.
Mm.
And he has to be mad at her
mm-hmm.
to go out and get away. He doesn't look at the fact that he didn't pick up his socks. He didn't put the food away. He peed on the toilet seat, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because I really see here, just as you so wisely assess, that he's angry and he's going to now control. It's directed at you, but the children are caught up in the middle.
That's my concern as a kid, because for me as an adult who already, you know, experienced 17 years of marriage with him and, you know, again, 6 years happily unmarried, delightfully divorced, like I can negotiate that adult to adult. I think it's harder for the kids to negotiate that with their dad and feel caught up in it.
So I'm just wondering here, if there is an opportunity for you to do this woman to woman, to kind of snuggle up to your sister woman, his wife, to see if you and her can come to an agreement, to involve her, you know, so that she knows, because she's probably getting it all from his side of the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you and her are not communicating, if you and her are not speaking, I'm just wondering if you can do this woman to woman, not to override him, not to bypass him, but to just let her know, first of all, that you appreciate her, that she's there, that she's providing care. I'm just wondering if you and her can build a bond that will support you in getting him to move a little quicker. because it sounds like he's just acting out. He's just rebelling. He's mad at you. He's mad at the director, the mommy. And he's going to, have you ever considered that? Do you think that's a possibility?
I did consider it, and I was hopeful that that would be a possibility until we sat down most recently with the three of us, where she kind of was definitely taking on his line of it, you know what I mean? And so, you know, initially I thought, okay, well, maybe I can communicate more directly with her with regard to the kids, but then she got into a place of defensiveness around, like, well, these kids need to, you know, respect me, and I'm not going to be disrespected. And like, so she's caught up in her own stuff with regard to her relationship to him and her relationship with the kids.
You know, do you play chess?
No, my kids do, but I don't. But yeah, being strategic.
Right. You know, and so it may be a woman to woman phone call where you say, listen, I can only imagine as the stepmom or the, you know, blended mom into this family, that the kids are going to have a little rebellion against you. I understand that. And I want you to know that I'm not supporting it. I'm not supporting it. They're in your home. I want you to them to respect you. I want you to know I heard what you said. And I also want to know how I can do that. What would you ask of me? And what I would ask of you is if you and I can, you know, communicate, because it seems that Boo Boo, whatever his name is a little slow on responding to some things that I want to be able to plan for. And I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to overstep. You know, you get a strategy where you and her can line up as women, you know, because I'm telling you, he's just rebelling against you. He's angry and he's rebelling. And she's the stepmom. So, you know, she's bringing kids into her house. I don't know if she has children. She probably wants your children to act the way her children do. But she's not their birth mother, and they're in relationship with you. It's hard. It's hard for the little puka nunus, the little puka nunus. You know, they probably feel they're being disloyal to you, even liking her. And that 12-year-old at that age is a challenge to like her, because she's going to feel disloyal to you because she's different. And B, she's 12. You know, she's in a really a critical place. But I still think it would be worthwhile for you to just attempt. I don't know if you know how to get in touch with her. Attempt to create this union between her. Now, we got to move a little quickly because you've got this thing coming up for Germany. It sounds to me, you know, and of course, I don't know all of the intricate details, but it sounds to me like you know, you're approaching this from a very mature perspective, which is why I say try to create an alliance so that when he doesn't respond, you could say, have you and Boo Boo talked about this? I'm not meddling, just want to know, you know, so I can make the right choices here. I think that's the way to go.
Okay.
Woman to woman. And she's going to go with you to Germany.
Oh, thank you so much for that.
I'm going to decree that for you. Because she's had a critical time. This is critical, critical, critical. And if you got to whip out some psychological documentation, put that on the mediation table. Don't be afraid to do that. Because you know, like I said, at 12, 13, identity versus identity confusion. She's looking at, who am I following? Who am I modeling my womanness after? And if she doesn't like her stepmother, or if they're not getting along and she doesn't have access to you because you're in Germany, that is going to be a problem. And here's another thing, Mama. I want you to hear me, okay? First of all, I want you to know you haven't done anything wrong. But I also sense you're doing all of this from your head. I want you to drop down into your heart. Because you are a planner. And you are, in many ways, strategic. And you are an achiever. But you're doing it from best thought. And I want you to drop down and start doing this with a mother's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Take a breath for me. Take a breath for me. And in your heart, I want you to see your baby girl with you. I want you to see yourself over in Germany together. I want you to see, you know, yourself laughing, playing with her, just being with her. Not from your head because you want her to go, but from your heart because you're a mama bear and your cub needs you right now.
Yes.
Just see that and feel that. Get that into your body. Take him out of it. He doesn't have anything to do with this. This is you, a mama bear, protecting her cub. You can't do that from your head. And what needs to be done in this meeting and that meeting and the schedule and buy the plane tickets and you can't do it like that.
Yeah.
I want you a little more in your heart. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I definitely am very cerebral. So even though I'm a Cancer sun sign, so I'm in my feelings all the time, but I hear you saying move from the space of the heart and not the head.
Yeah. So before you and your baby girl leave for Germany, just shoot me an email at iyamlaidiyamla.com and just say, thank you, I'm on my way.
Oh my goodness. I definitely will. Thank you so much for that encouragement and affirmation. I receive it.
Okay. All right, my love. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Sometimes as mothers, we get so caught up in what needs to be done and the best way to do it and what's going on and what they're doing and what we're not doing that we move into a very cerebral place and we start dealing from our head. We also deal from our past experiences. Very often when we're co-parenting, we have to do it from the heart space, creating oneness, creating unity, being compassionate, empathetic, not sympathetic, not pushing to get our way, but trying to get on the same side of the table as the other parent, considering their perspective, not getting caught up in it, not judging it, not excusing it, but just see it from their perspective and then get clear about what it is that is best for the child from a mother's heart, not a mother's head. Because in the head are all the experiences that we had with our partner or our ex-partner as a partner. And now that that union is no longer operating, we got to create a new normal. Get out of your head, mothers. Get into your heart and deal with your ex from your heart space, filled with compassion, empathy, and being clear about what it is you desire for the child. Be willing to compromise. And yeah. I know sometimes the other party is not willing to do that and they'll put their foot down. Stay in your heart. Stay in your heart. Make your request clear for the good of the child, not in opposition or againstness to the other parent. And if you're a mom and the ex has another woman in his life, consider how you and her can become sister women in alliance for the good of the child. Now, I know that doesn't work all the time, but at least it's a possibility. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. And now in this season's must-have shades and patterns, add the finishing touch with a limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Greetings and welcome to the R-Spot. We are talking today about co-parenting when your husband or your used-to-be wife is involved and you are in breakdown and you are trying to raise children. So what is the dilemma that you're bringing to the table today?
The dilemma that I'm bringing to the table today is the fact that my youngest son's father is what I like to call a convenience store dad. If that makes sense.
Yep.
And so, you know, he likes to be a dad when it's convenient for him. Just recently, this past holiday, per se, his mom got involved. Actually, she's been involved from the beginning, but it's the splitting the times between two families. And she wanted the entire time to be with her and the rest of their family. Whereas here I am, I'm like, hey, well, look. He has two families, not just one. Your family ain't the only family here. And it caused a huge ripple in the tide, so to speak, because you want to spend time with your son when you've had ample opportunity prior to just this great Thanksgiving to do so. And I feel like she feels like I'm using my son as a pawn or a wedge between the two families to say, well, you know, for Christmas, you can't see him. And that's not the case. My thing is the time outside of the holidays you don't do nothing with. So now you want me to be, you know, make the sacrifice and be convenient and try my hardest to, you know, please you and y'all during the holiday season when it's still 362 days of the year where y'all could see him and you don't. Mm-hmm. So that's where my co-parenting issues come in at.
Holidays. How old is your son, Ma?
He is 4. And he is a very observant, vocal, energetic 4-year-old little boy.
So he really doesn't give two diddly snits about Thanksgiving. He really don't.
No, he doesn't.
So what is the arrangement that you now have? What's the arrangement?
Well, the way that the arrangement started, once his father found out that he was a father, prior up to like the last 2 years.
Wait a minute. Hold up. You just trying to zip past that. What does that mean? Once the father found out he was a father, what does that mean?
Well, I didn't know that I was pregnant until I had my kid. Ooh. And I had my youngest son in the middle of my parents' living room on March the 1st of 2019.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How you didn't know you was pregnant? What happened?
To be honest, his eldest brother, I found out 2 weeks prior before having him that I was pregnant. So I would say the different stresses of life and just, you know, just going with the motions of things and not really listening and honing into my body, I was just going with the flow. I know.
So, I, you know what? That would be a whole show in and of itself. So I'm going to just stay with the fact. Here's the question. What was the nature of your relationship with your 4-year-old son's father? What was the nature of that relationship?
Honestly, it was just a you scratch my itch, I scratch your itch type of deal. And we should never, you know, we could just see each other in passing. But now that itch scratching commitment.
For how long did you do that?
I can honestly say it was one time. It was supposed to be a one and done type of deal.
Oh my God.
And then the one and done turned into a whole lifetime commitment.
Okay, so you do not have a relationship with him.
Correct.
So his convenience store, he's still scratching an itch. And since, you know, the itch ain't really there, it doesn't seem to me that he's yet translated the distinction or made the distinction between scratching your itch and fathering his son, because he didn't have a choice. He wasn't involved. He didn't participate. So he's just transferred his relationship with you onto his relationship with his son.
Yeah. And I've taken...
Does that make sense to you?
It does. And I've taken, you know, full responsibility of my actions and, you know, the things that have happened. But I'm like, okay, but at the end of the day, we still have our kid that we have to raise together, but separate. As, you know,
you do have a child that you want to raise. What is the conversation between you and his father regarding his participation in raising his son? What has your conversation been with him?
There hasn't. It's like talking to a brick wall.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I would, you know, open up the lines of communication, you know, with him. I try to call him so we can have conversations about, hey, when's a good time for you to see him? What is your weekend looking like? And I get no response. His mother is more involved than he is.
So then I say line up woman to woman with his mother. Line up. How old is this gentleman?
He's 35.
Does he have other children?
No. As far as I know, my son is his father. And his only.
So, but here, Mom, I want you to hear me. I don't have no heat, no judgment on this. But I really want you to hear me. I want you to take this in. That's not his son. That's the scratching of an itch.
Mm.
That's a scratching of an itch. That's not his son. He's not there.
Gotcha.
So if your intention is to be sure that your son has access to, is involved with, his father's side of the family, then your doorway, your ticket to that is his grandmother.
Okay.
Yes, and perhaps she is the one, you know, and I'm really torn in that because it's hard for me to say that knowing he may be around his father and his father just sees him as an itch.
Right.
Not as a, you know, a responsibility. But the other thing I'm going to encourage you to do, and I don't know how, you don't have any agreement with this man in terms of co-parenting. I don't know what kind of request that you've made, because when are you going to spend time with him is not a request. That's an inquiry. That's a question. You've got to make it clear. I want to know, or my request is that you have care of your son, of our son, at least one weekend a month. And when he's with your mom, that's between me and your mom. You've got to set up a relationship with her that's separate and apart from the relationship you have with the father, because she sees this as her grandson. He sees this as an itch.
Yes. And he's currently,
as a function of the nature of your...
Mm-hmm. I was saying, well, he's currently, as of recently, we have started the family court process per his request for visitation purposes. So we're going to see how.
Oh, good. He requested it?
Yeah, he did. And to be honest, I guess for me, it was a thing. I'm like, okay, but you're asking for visitation when all you have to do is just pick up the phone and say, hey.
Mind your business. Mind your business. Mind your business.
Yes, ma'am.
If that's how he wants to do it, it may be a fear that you're going to ask him too much, or... Again, he don't know you. You had a roll in the hay with this guy.
True.
So he's trying to protect himself. He's trying to protect himself. Because in his mind, she's going to come after me. She's going to come after me for money. She's going to do this, that, and the other thing. But when you get into court, you can definitely ask for money.
Yeah.
That is separate and apart from your relationship with his mom.
Yes, ma'am.
This is her grandson. She sees him as her grandson, and she wants to be in relationship with him. So you have to set that up with her, whether he is involved or not. Get into alignment and agreement with grandma.
I can do that.
Grandma, if you're in alignment with her, she'll make it happen.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that make sense
to you? It does. It makes a lot of sense. So, yes, ma'am.
You know, when I was co-parenting my granddaughter with her father, and he was just a wonderful child of God, cleverly disguised as an idiot, I had to really make agreements and requests. And it wasn't always what I wanted. So we agreed one Thanksgiving, he's with you, one, and that year she's with me for Christmas. One, the next year, she's with me for Thanksgiving. She's with you for Christmas. And even if you set it up, they have him Christmas Day and you get him the day after Christmas. Kids don't, they don't care. They don't, he's four. He don't know what day Christmas is.
Right.
In his mind, he could have a Christmas, two Christmases, two Thanksgiving. And some of you're going to have to relinquish your attachment to, I got to have him for major holidays. One Mother's Day, he's with her. One Mother's Day, he's with you. Father's Day, he can have him. You know, Groundhog's Day, all of those things.
Right.
But get into alignment with grandma. Get into alignment with her. And it may mean that you have to, I don't know a better word, so I'll say sacrifice. Sacrifice. Until he's old enough to say, I don't want to go. Or I want to stay with you, which will probably be around 10 or 11.
Yes, ma'am.
Line up with grandma and deal with daddy, who has absolutely no connection to this child at all, unfortunately, because you was giving up the goodies.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am, I was. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. I appreciate the advice.
Okay. Line up with grandma, okay?
I'm going to line up with grandma.
All right. Thank you, beloved. Thank you for calling and good luck to you.
Thank you.
All righty. So many co-parents do not understand that the nature of their relationship together impacts the nature of the way the children are parented. If you had a, you know, one and done, fly by, go by night, you can't come in the back door now expecting the other parent to be, all in, heads in, feet in, because they weren't involved to that degree. And it's not to beat ourselves up. It's not to make ourselves feel bad. But if you have a child with someone and their intention was not to have a child, there may be some things that you have to give up. You can't force somebody. You cannot force somebody to step into their responsibilities. You would hope that they would, but if they didn't have a vote and a choice up front, if you ended up pregnant or just got pregnant and that wasn't the plan, you know, the fact that the other party doesn't want to be a parent, doesn't live up to their responsibilities, that ain't your business. They're going to have to answer to God for that, not you. Your business is how do you communicate that to the child? But insisting that someone step into their parenthood when they're resistant to doing that, fighting with them, it's not going to turn out well for you. Okay? So we've got to be mindful when we are co-parenting to understand the nature of the relationship that produced the child. You got to take that into consideration. And don't assume that just because you had the child or are having the child, that the other person is happy about it. Okay? Now, if this is a planned child, if you were in a committed relationship and the child is born, then you may have a little bit to work with. But you still have to look at the nature of the relationship and the nature of the person you were in relationship with. If they are irresponsible in their relationship, negligent in their relationship, dishonest, out of integrity, lacking ownership, accountability in their relationship with another adult? What in the blazing bejesus thinks that they're going to be responsible, integrous, and accountable to a child? Okay? So some of the demands and the requirements and the requests that you may be making are going to fall on deaf ears. And yes, the child or the children become collateral damage. What you want to figure out is how best to deal with the situation you're in for the good of the child and maintain the peace in the process. I hope that you know something now that you didn't know when you tuned in. And until we meet again, stay in peace and not pieces. The R Spot is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.